But first, how many times in the past week have you been asked to lose weight, to get fit fast, or to strive for rock-hard abs in 10 days or less? We're constantly bombarded with ads, TV shows, billboards, and public health announcements like this telling us to lose the flab and to get fit. Even on the news, you'll be reminded repeatedly of the obesity epidemic sweeping the nation. But has all this focus on fat made us phobic of it? And if so, how have we come to think this way? My next guest is sociologist Deborah Lupton, and she believes that we do live in a fat-phobic society. It's the subject of her new book, aptly titled Fat. Deborah Lupton, welcome to Life Matters.
Great to be here, Robbie.
The book begins with a television show that we're all probably familiar with, and that is The Biggest Loser. And you reach over, you flick on the television, you're not particularly impressed with what you see, are you?
No, I happened to come across The Biggest Loser. It was actually the American version that I saw. I was just channel surfing and I'd been dimly aware that there was a show called The Biggest Loser, but I'd never seen it before. And I was just amazed by the way that the people in the show were humiliated, the way they had to stand up in front of the cameras and show off their bodies and be weighed, and their weight came up above their heads in giant numerals, and they were encouraged to talk about themselves and to talk about how disgusted they were and humiliated about their fat. And then I noticed that this year the Australian Biggest Loser series focused on single fat people who were unlucky in love, and it was all about, if you looked at the promos, it was all about how could someone love this fat body. And so I was really struck by the fact that these shows aren't focusing on so much on the health aspects of body weight. They're focusing on the fact that fat people hate themselves, feel disgust about themselves, feel as if nobody will love them. And that really impelled me to start thinking about what are the social aspects of the way that we think about fat bodies in our society.
So have we actually become fat-phobic? You think that the culture that we're in essentially is defined as that?
Yes, I do. I do think that when you look at commercial culture, when you look at advertising that you referred to in your introduction, when you look at the mass media coverage of obesity and overweight issues, it's just become very, very intense. And I actually did a quick and dirty study. I looked at the Sydney Morning Herald and I saw I tracked how many articles had been published that referred to obesity from 1995 to 2011, and it went from about 25 articles in 1995 to tenfold in the peak in 2006, about 250 articles. And we've just had this massive focus, starting really at the late 1990s, on the way that fatness is, pathological. Obesity is a disease. We've had lots of public health campaigns directed at the apparent obesity epidemic. So there has been an intense focus really in the last probably 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is the slight irony really, isn't it? That a lot of the messages that are being sent out initially are supposed to have good intentions. They're supposed to be messages to make us as healthy. But you're suggesting that really the underlying effect of those in many cases is actually quite negative.
Yes, well, I think the problem with a lot of public health advertising is that it does tend to try and use a fear approach or a disgust approach. And I wrote a piece recently for the online discussion site, The Conversation, about the use of disgust in anti-obesity campaigns.
So this is the Western Australian campaign.
I focused on the Live Lighter Western Australian campaign, which came out a few months ago. And that showed a man about to reach for a slice of pizza in his fridge, and then he goes and thinks about it, and he grabs a bit of his abdomen and squeezes it, and then you see the camera whiz into his body and you see this disgusting, blubbery, thick, oozing fat around supposedly his internal organs. And it's all about, and the voiceover talked about how toxic fat was overtaking his body and how that would lead to disease. And my argument is that those sorts of campaigns, you can just see the advertising company and the public health people sitting around saying, yes, how best can we really make people feel disgusted about their bodies so that we can force them to lose weight? And I really don't think that that's an ethical way to making people feel hatred and disgust about their own bodies. It's not ethical.
I take it this has a fairly strong analogy with the anti-smoking campaigns that we've seen over the last few decades.
They followed that format, that every cigarette is doing you damage format, whizzing into the body. Mm. But, there's a big difference between a cigarette and a slice of pizza. Smoking is quite a simplistic behaviour compared to the behaviours that lead to obesity. Obesity is an incredibly complex condition caused by all sorts of things, genetic factors. They're now finding out that your the flora in your gut actually affects the way that you metabolize food. Mm. You know, it's not just about people's ability to control their, you know, desires for pizza or any other junk food. It really is far more complex than that. But the trouble is that a lot of media campaigns and a lot of news media reports on obesity and overweight focus on people's responsibility, and you know, they have very moral overtones about the need for people not to be greedy, not to give in to their physical desires, to discipline their bodies.
So, what does it say about our own approach to how we view each other? There is a sense of the fear of the other. There is a sense of the fear of a disease, if you like, isn't there, that is tapping into an innate sensibility in us all.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I've written quite a lot on other issues to do with medicine and public health. I actually did a lot of research back in the 90s on HIV and AIDS, and I can see a lot of parallels there between the way that gay men, for example, were very much stigmatised and marginalised because they were seen as, you know, supposedly bringing the epidemic of HIV AIDS upon themselves, and with the way that we think about fat people supposedly bringing, you know, conditions upon themselves as well for their lack of self-control. And yes, I think that often we do... In any society, really, I mean, Mary Douglas, a very well-known cultural anthropologist, was the one who first really started talking about the way we define self versus other. And often it's a very symbolic definition, and it's about what we see as being uncontrolled is the other. So it might be the individual social group who we consider are not, you know, engaging in appropriate, normal, very highly regulated behaviours. And we see it with smokers, you know, they're very much stigmatised these days. We see it with people who perhaps might get cirrhosis of the liver due to alcohol, you know, excessive alcohol consumption. Mm. So there's a lot of parallels there, I think, between the way that we think about fat people and the way that we think about people with other conditions that we see as, you know, that they're responsible for.
Deborah, one of the areas that you tap into in the book is the definition of what it is to be fat. I mean, even the term obesity, you take a look at, and for a lot of people, that term is problematic, isn't it?
That's right, and that's why I called the book Fat, and that's why in the book I tend to use the word fat rather than obesity or overweight, because there's a growing fat activist movement out there, and also within academia, there's what is now called fat studies, and you can actually study fat studies, and there's books in fat studies, and there's even a new journal called Fat Studies. And the whole idea of using the word fat is really a bit similar to the way that the gay movement appropriated the word queer and turned it for their own advantage. Fat activists and fat studies people argue that obesity and overweight, what they call the O words, they don't like to use those because they see them as being already medicalising people because they're medical terms. So they do prefer to use the word fat instead.
Is there a lot of conjecture about how we use those terminologies too in a medical perspective? I mean, things like the BMI test, the body mass index test. I know that. Notice that in the book there, you suggest that there's a lot of differing approaches to what the effectiveness is of a test like that.
Yes, well, there's a lot of critique of the BMI because it's an arbitrary figure, really, and it doesn't take it. It looks at body mass. It doesn't actually look at fat. It doesn't actually define exactly what the proportion of fat is in the body. And it's interesting that the cutoff point for overweight was actually lowered in the late 1990s to a lower BMI, so that in fact overnight a whole mass of people who previously weren't defined as overweight suddenly were, because the BMI for overweight was lowered. So that was about the time that there was a lot of panic about the obesity epidemic, but that was actually an arbitrary lowering of the BMI. So a lot of people argue that the BMI shouldn't be used as an indicator of health, and it often is. If you're defined over a certain proportion of BMI, it's over 30 to be obese, then you're automatically designated as having a disease called obesity.
You have children of your own, mm-hmm. and one of the aspects that is covered fairly heavily in here is the effect that all these messages could have for young people and for children. How do you discuss it with your own children when it comes to talking about keeping healthy and also, I guess, the nature of dealing with weight issues for young people, which increasingly becomes at times problematic, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I think that it's a real concern that we are making, that we don't you know, overemphasize the issue of fatness with children. I have two daughters, one's 7 and one's 14. And so I talk about it slightly differently, you know, depending on the age. But particularly with my 14-year-old, I do notice that she is becoming concerned about her weight. She, you know, I'm a very thin person. And she is a sort of normal, you know, average sized person, not extremely thin. But what I make sure I do is that I don't focus, I don't use the F word, I don't use the fat word when I talk about what you should eat. I talk about health, I talk about fitness, I talk about, and, you know, she sees that I eat nutritious foods because I want, you know, I want to be healthy. So the trouble is if you're constantly focusing on the fatness issue or the obesity issue, whatever term you use, then particularly with girls, I think particularly with adolescent girls who are already very highly concerned about how they appear, it can really exacerbate a tendency towards, you know, worry about their body size and even lead, of course, to eating disorders if it's, you know, if you just place too much emphasis on it. On the other hand, if you've got a child who's a little bit overweight, you need to be really careful about how you talk about it with them and not call them fat or, you know, I can see it's a very, very fine line as a parent that you have to tread.
So where do you see it going, though? I mean, you've talked about in the last 20 years there's been a massive explosion in the way that we view the idea of fat and in a negative way and leading to what you call a, you know, fat phobia. With the amount of attention on it, though, and the amount of media that tends to be running stories on it, it's not likely to go away, is it?
I don't think it's likely to go away. There has been a slight dip in my analysis of the Sydney Morning Herald, for example. I did notice a slight dip in news coverage from 2006 until 2011. But certainly medical journals are still very much, you know, publishing a lot of research and, you know, coverage of the apparent obesity epidemic. I think really that, you know, I certainly don't argue that we shouldn't be encouraging everyone to engage in healthy behaviours. But I think we should, you know, and that is important for everyone, regardless of their body weight. And there's a lot of research coming out now which shows that you can be fat but fit or thin but unfit, because thin people who are, you know, not leading a very healthy life can still be very unhealthy. Fat people who are physically active can actually still have normal blood pressure and other normal indicators for their health. So I think really, I certainly think public health and medical authorities should be focusing on health for all. But we should be getting away from the body weight focus.
So how would you like to see public messages being caged in the future? You've spoken about some of these other advertising campaigns which you consider to be negative, essentially, in what they do. How would you go about proposing those sorts of public health messages in the future?
Well, I'd really like to get away from the fear and disgust evoking campaigns, because research does show they turn people off, and they can make fat people, for example, feel worse about themselves, and, you know, feel kind of as paralysed into action. So, you know, I feel bad about myself, and so, you know, that does not always impel people into action. It may impel them just into further sort of gloom and despair. I didn't mind the Swap It, Don't Stop It campaign. I don't know if you remember that. It was a few years ago. That showed happy little balloon figures, and they were sort of bright and cheery, and the idea was that they would be gradually deflated as they engaged in small kind of practices, small changes to their behaviour. But the point was, it wasn't about making people feel bad about themselves. It was giving the information about, you know, maybe swap your, you know, a large plate of food for a slightly smaller plate of food or whatever. It was giving some practical advice. But it wasn't about shame, humiliation, fear, dread.
You didn't like that recent campaign with the tape measure around the stomach, did you?
No, the Measure Up campaign. I wasn't keen on that either, because that, again, it showed a man becoming progressively fatter. And as he became progressively fatter, he became progressively older looking. And it showed him trying to pick up and play with his young daughter. And even though his daughter had only aged a few years, he looked like he was about 20 years older. And I thought that was really overdoing it. It was really about, you know, if you're fat, you may die early, you can't play with your children anymore. And again, it was very much couched in a very negative representation.
Deborah Lupton, thanks ever so much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure.
For speaking with us. Deborah Lupton there, sociologist and author of the book Fat, which takes a little look at how we view the issues of weight in this modern age and some of the complexities behind our perspectives on it.